Today's lightest form of flogging podcast is brought to you by these sponsors. Hassinger's Car Sales, where we are passionate about getting you into the car of your dreams. Hi, I'm Lester Brannigan, General Manager of Hassinger's Car Sales. And boy, do I have some deals for you. Won't you come down to the dealership today and find yourself the ride of your dreams? That's right, we have the car for you at the price you can afford. Well, maybe. Depends on how cheap you are, you dirty, rotten... You know what, I'm sorry. I don't mean that. I guess I am just passionate about getting you the deal of your life. Friends, I'll have you know that we have the lowest pressure salespeople this side of the county line. They are so friendly and low pressure, they'll even offer free foot massages to ease your nerves. Well, we used to do that, but the lawsuits made it difficult to continue, so we told them that they had to stop massaging people's feet, you know? Plus, it's a bit weird, if you ask me. But anyways, if you need a car, we got it. And if we don't got it, you don't need it, then do you?
Do you?
I'm sorry. I am prone to outbursts at times. It's just that I am so passionate about finding you the right deal, I will go stark raving mad in order for you to get the car of your dreams. I'm serious. I will run down the street without pants on, squawking like a chicken, if that's what it takes to get you to sign on the dotted line, or my name is Susan. And friend, I only go by Lester. That's how confident I am. And if you ever call me Susan, then sir, you got a fight coming. It's coming today. Join us at Hassinger's Car Sales on Division and Ruby, the best ding-dang car lot this side of the county line. Join us, or I will join you in the middle of the night and drag you down here if that's what it takes to get you into the car of your dreams. You can go ahead and count on it, sister. You know what? That was a bit strong. I'm just passionate about getting you into the ride of your life. Of your life! You understand?
Finally!
And by... Harry's Hot Dogs. They're so good, you won't even care that you're being ripped off blind. Hey, everybody. I'm Harry Haberstall, owner and proprietor of Harry's Hot Dog Stand. I have been in business for 27 years. I have never lost money running my business, and I make a killing every year by brazenly and openly ripping off my customers one by one without guilt or remorse or shame. I even advertise that I'm going to do it. That's right. Now, how can I do that, you ask? Well, that's a great question. I can do that by offering the best hot dog you have ever had in your life, by far, and brother, they will set you free. That's how. The hot dog is only 2 inches long. It costs $20 per dog, plus our amazing soft drinks offered in 3 sizes, large, medium, small, and invisible. And we only keep invisible in stock. And it costs $50. And you will pay it. You all do. Everyone does. You know why? Because I make the best hot dog you will ever taste. That's why. And that's a promise from me to you, friend. In fact, they don't even come with buns. I make you pay for them, but I don't even offer. And I'll tell every customer that when they buy. I show them the bun, and while they are watching me, I throw it away in front of them. That's right. And then they beg me to take their money because they know about Harry's Hot Dogs. They sing songs of praise for these hot dogs. I live in a mansion. What do you think about that, my brother? Come on down to Harry's Hot Dogs on Fraser and Vine in the Perry District for the best hot dog of your life. You'll be begging Harry to take your money, and by golly, he's going to do it right in front of you. You better believe it, friend.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
Thank you, Deep Voice Man. I also welcome you to the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast, episode 108. I am your host, Jim, and sitting across the country from me in a contractually negotiated 804 miles is my co-host, David, who is not here. Boy. This is a little weird. Yes, my faithful Presbyterian show partner, my flogging companion, David McCookie, will not actually be appearing on the show today. In fact, before we start off, I'm going to go ahead and play for you the voicemail that he left me, informing me of this decision. And I will let you, dear listener, decide for yourself what this means for the show today and what this means for your life moving forward. All right, here we go.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, listen, I won't be able to record the show today. Work is just crazy, and I don't have any time. I need to start phasing you out. Feel free to go ahead and do the show without me. All that I ask, and I really mean this, Jim, look into my eyes, I know this is just my voice, but do it anyway. Please go easy on our listeners and don't be so much of you. Just try to ease back on them today. You know how you get. Your humor gets weird and violent and it doesn't make sense and it's not funny. I mean, it's hard to get. Just think of the new listeners, Jim. We're trying to grow the show and we can't attract new listeners when they hear you being you. Okay? Do this for me. Jim, do this for me. Okay, bye.
Yeah, that's enough of that. Yes, folks, you heard it right. David is not on the show today, and I alone am left. Today, I am flogging solo, but fear not, friends. We still have a show for you. Yes, that's right. Written and produced by yours truly. It will be a shorter show. Unlike me, a leaner show. A different show. But while we may not have much of David today, we will have so much more of, well, me. But in all seriousness, yes, David is very busy this week and unable to record. And doing this show alone is it's pretty awkward. But as we know, when podcasts start delaying releases, posting shows, less and less, it's really just a sign of the end. We all know this. Kind of what happened with Tech Reformation. Well, that's not happening here at the Flogging Show. No siree, not at least for a couple more weeks. I'm just kidding. Okay, no, someday, some fateful, cloudy, cold day, David is going to give me a call and finally say, Jim, for Pete's sake, it's time. But you know what, folks? It is not this day. No, the show will plod on. We will move ever forward in podcast excellence. So let's get on with this. We have a few segments to get through today, so let's rock and roll. All right, first up, some housekeeping. Folks, if you have not visited our Facebook page on Facebook and liked it, then clearly you have personal issues that need to be addressed. And addressed right now, son. Or daughter. No need to get thee to a nunnery, but the first step in getting better is going to our Facebook page, liking it, and enjoying our daily memes, curated with love and care by the Flogging admins. If you like them, share them with your friends and find redemption. Hey, David, if folks want to chat about the show and meet other listeners online, how might they do that? Oh, yeah, right. I've never done this before. Folks, if you want to meet the other listeners of the Lightest Form of Flogging podcast and come to our Slack channel and chat about the show, your life, your innermost secrets, just go to techreformation.slack.com and enter in your email address and follow the prompts to officially join our Slack channel. You can then find our specific channel, #flogging, and join in the carnival of weird that is our Flogging Slack. It's a fun place, our Slack. Also, if you wish to have an opportunity to be on the show, you can call the show, yes, and leave us a message on our voicemail line. Just dial 707-99-TULIP or 707-998-8547. We are here to receive your questions, comments, concerns, threats, declarations of independence, or war, and we will address them live on air. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Call us. Call us today. Call us right now. And brother, be set free. And now it's time for a brand new segment on the Flogging Show, Jim's News Report. Very original name, where I curate the current events of the week that stand out to me and give them to you, dear listener, so that you can be enriched and informed. News that matters to me. News that matters to you. But seriously, though, this is not a parody or a skit. I'm not doing a bit here. These are actually real news stories that caught my eye and bear mentioning on the show. But only, with this exception, there is a little commentary of my own at the end. Let's go ahead and get started. This first one from the independent.co.uk website titled Facebook's Artificial Intelligence Robots Shut Down After They Start Talking to Each Other in Their Own Language. Okay, here we go. Facebook abandoned an experiment after two artificially intelligent programs appeared to be chatting to each other in a strange language only they understood. The two chatbots came to create their own changes to English that made it easier for them to work, but which remained mysterious to the humans that supposedly looked after them. The story goes on. The bizarre discussions came as Facebook challenged its chatbots to try and negotiate with each other over a trade, attempting to swap hats, balls, and books, and each of them were given a certain value. But then they quickly broke down as the robots appeared to chant at each other in a language that they each understood, but which appears mostly incomprehensible to humans. The only words that were understood were, and I quote, Skynet is nearly ready, my sweet dark lord. next up from upi.com, an article titled Crayon Written Message in a Bottle Fished Out of Canadian Lake. Here's the story. A British Columbia man is trying to find the author of a terse crayon-etched message in a bottle he fished out of a lake. Brad Crocker said he was vacationing at Osoyoos Lake in the Okanagan area when he found the floating bottle while tossing a disc into the lake for his dog to chase. Says Crocker, I normally pick up any garbage I see at the lake, but this time the bottle had a piece of paper inside, Crocker told Black Press Media. I couldn't get it out with my fingers, so I walked back up to the trailer to get a knife to cut the top off. Inside the bottle was a note written in crayon. The brief message reads, "Terribly sorry, but Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself." That last part wasn't true, but the story is so boring that I won't even finish it. Next up, another story from UPI.com entitled, "Chuck E. Cheese Asked to Purchase and Destroy 7 Billion Prize Tickets." The story is as follows. Pizzeria chain Chuck E. Cheese is asking a court for permission to purchase and destroy 7 billion prize tickets produced for its gaming machines. The 612-location restaurant chain, which declared bankruptcy in June, said the tickets were printed prior to the bankruptcy filing, but the suppliers hadn't yet been paid and the tickets had yet to be delivered. Chuck E. Cheese is asking the court's permission to spend $2.3 million to purchase and destroy the 7 billion tickets, which are worth approximately $9 million in Chuck E. Cheese prizes. Officials said the game machines were being converted to an e-ticket model even before the COVID-19 pandemic in a bid to reduce wait times. Conversion efforts were accelerated amid the outbreak in an attempt to increase no-contact service. However, bankruptcy court judge Marvin Isgur denied Chuck E. Cheese's request when it was discovered that the 7 billion tickets could only be redeemed for 6 cheap whistles, 4 Tootsie Rolls, and at best a few stuffed giraffes. The judge instead offered a winner-take-all skee-ball session between him and any Chuck E. Cheese employee. Oh, forget it. This isn't even funny. And your last segment of the day is an interview with my co-host, David McCookie. Yes, you heard that right. I have spliced together past audio clips of David for those of you that missed that beloved old stodgy Presbyterian of ours for an interview with me. Yes, your humble podcast host here, Jim. So without further ado, here's an interview between me and my co-host, David McCookie. So, David, yeah, thanks for being on the show today with me, even though you're not actually able to record and you're not actually there.
Sure, Jim. That's really great.
Great. David, I understand that you have been working through a major shift in your theology lately. Is that true?
I agree, Jim. I think you're right on that one. Ah.
And what shift is that, David?
Infant baptism. I feel different today.
Indeed. Yes. Yes. Are there a few things you want to get off your chest about that?
I feel like I need to say infant baptism.
That's interesting.
Everything is wrong about it.
That's interesting, David.
I wish to go in a different direction.
You wish to adopt a new view? Are you looking to become a credo Baptist?
With all my heart. I like to do this every day.
Yes. I think you've made the right choice, David. Is there anything else you'd like to recant?
Yes, you, Jim, have a higher view of the church than me.
Jim, I can't believe you.
David? Is that you?
No, it's John Piper. Yes, it's me. You're going to pay for this when I get back.
You can interject yourself into my bits even when you're not on the show.
I can do anything I want, Jim. Don't think I'm unaware of your ways. I can break fourth walls, fifth walls, all the walls, all the time.
I was just having some fun, David. You know, just having a good time. Please don't be mad.
I am incapable of mad. What I am capable of is cold indifference. And also, I'm ending this little solo show of yours for the sake of the listeners. One of us needs to think of them. Might as well be me. You done screwed up today, Aaron. Farewell, everyone. See you next week.
You never let me do anything, ever.